Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Evening. I want to tell you, folks, it's been good. We started last night, and well, the Lord just met with us, and I'm sure he's going to be here this evening and is here. Thank you, Calvary Baptist, for coming and singing for us. It's such a blessing. It is a blessing when we get to mix meetings and congregations and fellowship with each other. We shouldn't take it for granted, and I tell you, I don't think we do it quite as often as we should. But we appreciate Brother Brian and his wonderful ministry and what it means to Westside. And thank you for being here. And Westside folks, thank you for being here this evening as well. Well, let's open the service in prayer, and then I'm going to get out of the way. Brother Billy Davison, would you pray for us, please, sir?
Our Father God, we thank you once again, Lord, to be able to be at your house. Lord, we thank you for everybody that came. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit. God, we pray that you anoint him for the
seated. Choir, y'all be seated. Appreciate the choir coming tonight. We're just gonna follow the Lord tonight. And choir, we want you to do the same. You sing until the Lord tells you to shut up, and don't you sing one less than Him telling you. But I want to ask Benita to come around. She had a song, a particular song for last night. When she got up here, the service went in a different direction. And I really want this song sung this evening before we open up and let the choir come on, if they would come on. They were such a blessing last night, and the thing just blew out, and we went in a whole different direction. But pray for them as they sing. Billy's had dialysis today, and he's moving a little slower, but...
God has been so good in the still It's good to be here tonight. Appreciate you letting us come back, and it's a blessing. I'd rather be beat up nowhere else than here, and be humiliated and keep me humble. And the Lord has those places in which we must travel, crosses we must bear. And tonight, this is mine. And but I appreciate Westside. I appreciate you letting us come. Appreciate the invitation, Brother Alton, Brother Melvin, Brother Dave. Appreciate you. Our normal choir leader is not here. He's having to work. And so, therefore, I get to lead the choir. But this song, this particular song, he normally sings. You'll find out here in just a minute, I am no singer, but I love the message in this song. It's one you've heard 1,000 times, but the message does not change. And it simply says it's under the blood. And there's a lot of things that in my life, that old devil, he didn't have to accuse me anything, because there's a lot of things I'd done that I claim I was guilty of. And you got some skeletons somewhere lying deep in your past, too. But I'm glad the story doesn't end there. And I'm glad it's under the blood tonight. Now, I'd encourage you to lose your dignity, lose your pride, loosen your tie, whatever you got to do to worship tonight. I've been at the funeral home all day. I'd like to see some movement tonight. And the Lord's been gracious to you. He's been good to you. He could let every one of us in here die and go to hell tonight. But by his mercy and by his grace, amen, he put it under the blood. Amen. You pray for the choir as we sing. All right, on the chorus.
It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him. It's under the blood. It's under the
Satan came right by my side, making me feel low. He brought up thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along life's way. He said, "You're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been. I have a record of your past when you were bound by sin. I know your darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell?" Well, I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply. "You're right for all those things I've done. I sure deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding you it's under the blood. Victory was given when I was born again. He washed my stained and sinful past and put new life within. No longer do I bear the marks that sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, praise God, I now can say, it's under the blood.
it's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. It's under the blood. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the
hallelujah, friend. Amen.
Jesus, what can make me whole again? It's under the blood.
Say,
oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. I'm happy reminding. It's under the blood.
Stu, I'm still amazed.
Still amazed. I never got over that this king
Jennifer down here on the end recently kind of started helping our choir a little bit, and she knows that sign stuff. And sometimes I'll get sidetracked in church just watching some of those emotions, those hand signals of how she communicates that expression. And it amazes me when she talks about the blood of Jesus. She said, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing." And she'll nothing but this song here says the anchor holds. There's a part where she'll grab her finger, just holds and let you know that anchor, it ain't a going nowhere. And I know that ain't proper English, but I'm glad I know where I'm sitting at tonight. I'm glad I know who the anchor is. You listen to this old song, amen. I trust you tonight you'll obey the Lord, be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. We're not here to entertain. We're just here to worship and remind you how great our Lord is tonight. So you listen to this song, okay?
Sails
Praise the Lord. Wasn't that great? Calvary Baptist Church, thank you for coming and just coming here tonight and making our evening so wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to hearing the preacher now. He's come, and I'm sure he's studied up and prayed up. And this is the time when Brother Brian gets to come forward and cut his mic on and come preach to us. I don't know about you, but I love the message in every one of those songs. What a personal application we can make, remembering the day. Hey, I know this, and some of you know my testimony, some not, but the day the Holy Spirit tapped me, I had one foot in hell and one hand in a cookie jar. And I'm not kidding you. The Lord saved me that day. I've been to a lot of meetings across this country, and we were in a meeting years ago, and the whole week the emphasis was placed on assurance of your salvation, and really to the point that was a little on the crazy side. I searched myself all week, and finally I had somebody say something of the effect. They said, "Well, aren't you going to get saved?" And I mean what I'm about to say. If I'm not saved, forgive the grammar, but if I'm not saved, ain't nobody saved. I'm convinced the day that I asked Jesus to come into my heart, that was the day that the Lord saved me. And I'm hanging on to it all the way to heaven. Brother Brian, you're an incredible man, and we love you. And we thank you for being here tonight. And you just preach, my friend. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. It's good to be here. I hope they sang a song in between. Let me catch a breather. Amen. And all right, it's good to be a good crowd. I mean, it's just a big crowd. I appreciate you being here. It's a blessing to be at Westside. And I'm going to say this before I go any further. It may come out in the message. It may not. I thought about when I came over here, I'd be preaching on another thought. And tonight, the Lord seemed to change my heart during the singing, I was in Chick-fil-A the other day, and me and Sammy were there eating a little breakfast. So every once in a while, he says he wants to sleep in, and one day out of the week at school, and so we got up and we went to Chick-fil-A, and I guess I just told his sister that's what we done. And so we'll probably have to go somewhere after here because she'll say, "You took Sammy to Chick-fil-A." But I was there, and there's a group of young people, and usually a lot of high school kids and different people are coming through the place. And I had one that had just came up to me, and she just called me by my first name, teenage girl, and kind of threw me for a moment. And because that's not, you know, what I was accustomed to from her. And I said, "Well, it's supposed to call you." I'm just kind of, you'll understand in just a minute. I'm just kind of convinced that, you know, it's still right for somebody that's a minor or young to respect their elders. And it's hard for me to say that now that I'm 41. I got a little leverage. I can say that. And there was a day when I was about 15, 16 hanging out here where I couldn't say that. But now I can say that. But, you know, I said, "Hey, how you doing?" But then there's another couple young people that came in, and I said, "Hey, Brother Brian," and it was Madison and William, and I'm so glad you said Brother Brian. Yeah, that's right. And he was panicking. Did I say Brother Brian? Did I say Brother Brian? But they showed respect, and I just want to tell you thank you. And it's right to respect your pastor, your preacher, those that are elders. There's nothing wrong with still saying Mr. or Mrs. or brother or sister. You should never refer to your preacher or any preacher for that matter by their first name alone. You ought to respect that position. They're no greater than you by no means. They're no greater of a man, and they simply, it's just a place that God has put them. And it's still right to teach our young people how to be respectful. Amen. Not. It's still all right to teach them to wear their breeches up to the hips with a belt. It's still all right to teach them those things and put their hat facing the right direction. And that ain't sideways or backwards. It's false. Amen. And if you're a good redneck, you'll put a bend in it. Amen right there. All right. I'm just horsing around about that. That's up your business. But I appreciate you just respecting that offer. It meant a lot, Miss Madison and Brother William. Appreciate that. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 15 tonight. And I've only preached this message one time. And as a matter of fact, it was yesterday morning. And so it's not something that's going to be rehearsed. It's not something that's going to, every I may not be dotted, every T may not be crossed, but I don't know if it's Jubilee style. I don't know if it, but it's what's on my heart, and if I'll just do what that is, that's right, I believe we'll be okay. And I'll never, it's never my intention, never my purpose or place to come in to preach anything other than what's in the book. And that's what I want to do. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to hinder. I certainly don't want to ever do anything that would keep me from ever coming back to Westside. Westside's been good to me, and I'm thankful. A lot of my growing came. Dr. Payne had a great great part in that through the years, and he's been a mentor in the faith. And I appreciate Brother Melvin, Miss Mildred, and I've seen them go through a lot of dark days, but I'm thankful. And many of you have been able to stay here through the years. And Brother Alton, and I appreciate Brother Alton. Don't know him as well as I've known some of you, but I'm thankful that the Lord always has a Joshua when there's a Moses, when there's a transition. God always has a man. God always has a place, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. All right, 2 Samuel chapter number 15. Would you stand together? Let's read these verses tonight, just the first six verses. And it's good to see you got family here and good friends, and I'm so thankful, and I hope we still claim his family and friends when we leave tonight. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate, and it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, and then Absalom called unto him and said, Of what city art thou? And he said, Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me. And he said, I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom do all Israel that came to the king for judgment. Listen to this part of the verse. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. I'm going to read that latter part again. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for reverencing the word of our Lord. I wanted to come in tonight and preach simply about out of the book of Hebrews, about those great people of faith and their promises and how God seemed to preserve them and their promises that they died, not obtaining all of them, but they were committed to the cause of Christ. They embraced those promises. But tonight, I'm afraid in our congregations throughout our churches today, there is something taking place that is really disturbing to me, and I believe to any preacher, to any pastor. It is the Absaloms that have came along in our day that have stolen our heart away from our King. And if I were to ask you tonight, who is your king? If I'd say, hey, do you believe that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and is he your king? We would automatically, all together, unanimously, more than likely say, yes, Jesus is my king. But the question I would ask you tonight is, does Jesus have your heart? Or is there something or someone or somewhere that may have taken your heart away from the Lord?
Now tonight in the text in which we read, we know that Absalom tonight is the third son of David. Now, most of what I'll cover tonight will be really a consequence of what David did several years back with Bathsheba. Now, tonight I would tell you that it does make a difference, Grandma and Grandpa. It does make a difference, Dad and Mom, on how you live and the decisions and choices that you make tonight, because it may not just affect you, but it may affect generations after you, amen, and that'll be a cause, amen, a consequence for our sin. Tonight it's important for us to know that there is a consequence and a payment for sin. Tonight, and I want you to know that when he committed that sin with Bathsheba, that of adultery and murder, and he tried to cover it up, but yet Nathan the prophet came to him and said, David, thou art the man. You're the man that's guilty. You're the man that did this. And he said, amen, the sword will not leave your family. From that day forward, David was still a man, I believe, that wanted God, still a man after God's heart, still a man that wanted to be in the will of God. But yet tonight, the sword never left David's family from that day forward. He lived a miserable, hard life, and it was a result of his choices. Tonight, I want us to know that we simply, you hear, tell people to say, trust your heart. Amen. To just let your heart be your guide. But the Scripture teaches us in the Word of God that our heart can be deceptive. Amen. It is deceitful above all things. Amen. The writer said, who can know it? You hear this statement all the time to our young people. Just trust your heart. Amen. When it comes to them loving somebody or beginning to like, say, trust your heart. You better be making sure your heart lines up with the Scripture. Amen. Because God will not lead your heart somewhere where the Scripture does not already give the truth and the foundation for it. But it can also be a place where the heart's, a lot of times it's double in a way. It speaks differently. The Bible says with a double heart do they speak. You remember one place the Lord said that they say they love me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Tonight, as I am able to go every once in a while, Brother Billy, it seems as though that our heart at times It's been pulled away from God. We go through the motions and we go through the routines, but it's often that our heart is just not there. We sing the songs of great truth, and you hear messages, I'm sure, that are sound doctrinally, and they are anointed by the Lord, but it's as though they don't reach our heart. They get in our head, but yet they don't get in our heart. Because if they got in our heart tonight, there would be some changes in our life. But tonight, I want you to see quickly as we look at Absalom, and I'll not hold you very long tonight. I promise you, I will go to the house here in just a minute. But I want you to notice how Absalom comes up on the scene tonight. And we know the story is how he came up and he begins to rebel against David. And you know how he got to this point that Absalom had murdered his half-brother. He had had him killed. And because he had taken advantage of his half-sister Tamar, and he had pushed himself upon her, and Absalom decided that he would take that matter into his own hands, and he got revenge, and he dealt with his brother, and he fled from Jerusalem for about 2 years, and he's been brought back. You remember? He tried to get Joab's attention, and Joab wouldn't respond to him. He wouldn't listen to him. So Absalom went and had Joab's field set afire. So because he knew that it would get Joab's attention tonight. But then he comes into town. They let him into town. He wants to see King David, and David lets him in. But how he makes this grand arrival into Jerusalem. How he makes this arrival coming in. The Bible said in verse number 1 that it came to pass that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And now tonight you would agree in this day that there's a lot put on appearance. There's a lot that is emphasized in the arrival of particular people. Amen. When you pull up and you see limos and limousines, you think, man, this is somebody important. This is somebody that we ought to be looking toward and trying to see who they are. Listen, Absalom had all the things that everybody would want tonight. If you read in chapter number 14 and verse number 25, I believe it is, the Bible said that he was a handsome man, that he was praised for his beauty. Amen. The Bible teaches us from the crown of his head up to the soles of his feet, he was a beautiful man. He was a man that women, it was easy on the eye. He was a man that most men would look at and say, man, he's a man of war. He's a man of strength. He's a man of power, a man of greatness. His jawbones are probably chiseled. I mean, he had hair. The Bible talks about that it was long. He'd cut it once a year. I mean, he had all the appearances of a great king. He had all the appearances of somebody that... Now, David at this point is getting old in age. David at this point is getting a little age on him. A little where they feel like the king is no longer sufficient to do what he once done. This seems like he has no power. Amen. But they were beginning to look on the surface of who Absalom was. He had the handsomeness. He had that long hair. And the Bible said that he came in with those horses, which teaches us, amen, I believe it was Moses in these days talks about they shouldn't have horses and chariots. The king should not of Israel. But tonight I want you to know, amen, that when Absalom comes by to steal your heart tonight, he's going to do it, amen, by the way he appears. Amen, he's going to come in. He's going to be easy on the eye. Amen, those things, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, amen, the lust of the eyes, he's going to appeal to you. And the whole time what he's wanting to do is steal your heart away from your fidelity and faithfulness up to the King of Glory. Up tonight, he don't jump out and say, I'm seeing. He don't jump out in a way and say, hey, you know that I'm wrong, but let's go ahead and partake in my sin. But friend, he lures us in. It may come with a little twinkle of an eye. Amen. Somebody on the job winking at us. It may come a little bit after afternoon choir practice. Amen. A little soft touch. Amen. Or a little sweet little hug that you think ain't nothing to it. But friend, the whole time Absalom's trying to sneak in and he's trying to steal your heart. Friend, we get caught up tonight in so many different things in our churches. Amen. Hey, you know it to be so. Amen. They're trying to take our hearts tonight with the big shows and the big signs. They think they got big sanctuaries. Amen. They want to, amen, just make it bigger and better. But the truth is they've got away from the old-time gospel. They've got away from the old-time truths. And what they've done, they took eye appeal and they stole the hearts, amen, of good old-time people, thinking that's where the crowd is. Amen. That's where we need to go. That's where we need to be. Let me tell you something tonight. You need to get anchored down in the church you in. Begin to make a confession to your king. I said, I will not be pulled away from the faithfulness of my Lord. He is my king, and you're not going to take me away by false pretenses tonight. Amen. Way too often, and hey, I'm being honest, it's easy to say, man, they must really have something going on down there. It's easy to look and say, hey, and I battle it. I mean, I battle it as a pastor, and when you look around and you see so many things changing, you walk in places and they got so many neon lights that you don't know if you're at a Britney Spears concert, amen, or you're at the house of God, amen, they go to a place, amen, you don't know if you're back in the hellhole where you came from, amen, or you're in the church house. People say the church has done got too worldly, and the world's got too churchy. Listen to me, I can still tell the difference, Brother Melvin, between God's people and them that ain't. Amen. Hey, I'm glad to go to the house of the Lord where I can still see the presence of Almighty God in our midst. Amen. Don't be deceived by all the big buildings. If it ain't in the book, y'all wouldn't go. Listen to me, you moms and dads. You can't let your children dictate who where you go to church at tonight. Amen. I don't care how many clubs or picnics they have. Amen. I don't care how many trips or jungle books they let your youngins read, how they let them hang out together. Hey, I'll tell you, if you knew what half was going on in a lot of these churches and these youth groups, hey, you'd wish to God you kept them under old time preaching again. The appearances. The whole time we're thinking, well, they're in church somewhere, preacher. They're in church. No, Absalom is stealing their heart. Absalom is taking them away right up under our noses. Because there's a counterfeit gospel out there so close to ours, and we're afraid to say anything about it. We need to get better, get back at identifying what it is about the things of prosperity. Things of popularity and personality. Amen. It seems to be in our day when it comes to the church, Brother Alton tonight. Amen. If you got good looks and you got charisma and you can smile good and you're easy on the eye, it'll make a difference if you can preach a lick. And they just want you to come see the personality of the preacher. And they just want you to come see, amen, how good he is. Friend, I want you to know, amen, you better quit looking on the surface at the man of God. Quit looking just basically what's on the outside and begin to look at what's on the inside of the character of the man of God. He may drive in here with a pinto with no hubcaps. Amen. Hey, don't be deceived. Amen. Don't let that fool you. Other preachers down the road may ride in Cadillacs and town cars, but that ain't got nothing to do with the touch of God. Amen. It has something to do with you. Amen. I'll take care of him right. Amen. The truth is, it has nothing to do with who God touches tonight. Amen. Appearance, he comes in. Boy, saying, boy, he's got to be somebody. Y'all heard that story that time that Billy Graham landed at the airport? Limo was there to pick him up. You know where I'm going? And he told that guy on the out there on the field, he said, hey, I want to drive one of these things. I've never driven one. I want to drive it. The limo driver got out and let him drive. Goes on riding around on that little, whatever tarmac, whatever that little thing is. He goes down the wrong road. One of them security people pull him over. Say, hey. The Graham rolls his window down. The security guy just steps back. He says, oh, Lord. He says, what's your problem? He said, listen, I've never driven one of these. He said, you're going to have to forgive me. He said, no, you hold on, sir. I'll be right back. Security guard leaves. Comes back and he tells his boss, he said, you got to come down to the runway. You got to come down here. He said, we got somebody really important with us. Yeah, I said, oh, it must be the president. He said, no, it ain't the president. He said, it must be the governor. So he said, oh, no, he's somebody bigger than that. He said, it's Jesus. He said, and Billy Graham's driving. Amen. By appearances tonight, we simply fall in love with the bigness. And you look at places and you wonder, amen, how come we just keep going on? You look at little churches and them that are sticking with the fundamental ways and you're saying, hey, they're winning them by the big shows and the big lights and the big sounds and the big sanctuaries. Honey, I'd let them have every single bit of it. Amen, and know that I got God. Amen, down at our local church house. I know that the Spirit of God's still welcome. Sinners can still be saved. The Holy Ghost still moves in the church service. Hey, I'll take that any day over some big old building tonight. Don't let the appearance fool you. Don't let all the smoothness and the... And let me get to that, amen. The grand appearance. But then the gracious articulation, amen. The way he articulates to these people. The way he began to... Absalom began to speak to them. I mean, he tells them every single thing they want to hear. Hey, Brother David, I didn't see you. Amen. He tells them everything. Boy, they come up there, and he said, he begins to kiss on them and hug on them and love on them. And he says, hey, whatever you're coming to the king for, it's good and right. Amen. He was making premeditated judgments on things that he had not even heard the case for. Listen to me tonight. Amen. You West Side and the Hope Calvary already understands whatever church you may be from. Amen. You better quit being deceived by people who will not tell you the truth. Amen. Men of God that will not stand up and tell you. Amen. That you must be born again. Amen. That you must live a separated and a sanctified life. Up tonight, hey, amen. You get a hireling in your life. He'll tell you anything to keep you on this pew. He'll tell you anything to keep you in a class. He'll tell you anything to keep you giving. Hey, I'd rather have some men of God tonight that'll stand up on the word of God. Amen. Not flatter me with their lips, but they'll preach a sound gospel tonight to my family. Amen. Family's dying and going to hell tonight. And we simply think it's all right because everybody's comfortable. I remember when I got under conviction. Amen. The church house was the last place that I wanted to go to. Amen. I was the last place that I wanted to get to. Amen. Amen. There was somebody that was concerned about me. Amen. He thought enough of me to tell me the truth. Amen. Thought enough of me when I came in as that long-haired, earring-wearing teenager, bound for hell, told me I need to get saved. Amen. Thank God he wasn't popular. But I bless the name of God. One day, the Holy Ghost passed by my way on a Sunday night. Amen. Showed me I was lost. Drew me to a place of repentance. And I bless the name for the God that saved me and used that preacher to preach the word of God to me tonight. Amen. I didn't come down there chewing no gum, walking back like everything was happy and I was putting peace signs to my buddies. We didn't get our phones and make Doug lips right after I got our doctor. No, honey. I guarantee you, amen, I didn't run. I didn't shout. Amen. I don't even know that I shed a tear. Honey, I knew when I got up, there were some things different in my life than what it was when I went down. Amen. Amen. The preacher, we've heard that story before. You better hope you got a story. Amen. But don't be fooled by those people who tell you everything you want to hear. You ever watch that show, American Idol? Don't lie, y'all. Bless God. Don't act like you're super spiritual up here. Not me, preacher. I'm saying I sing in the choir. Honey, you probably danced. Everything else too. Hope not. But them and them people ain't got no friends. Because they think they can get up and they say, who told you to sing? Who you could sing? They said, my friend. You ain't got no friends. There was one man, I sang one time in Opelika, Alabama, and he told me, he said, man, you better stick to preaching. Some of you will tell me that tonight when you go out. Or some of you probably, you better find another job, period. But listen, I'd rather somebody be honest with me and tell me the truth. Tell my family the truth. Amen. I don't want somebody when they meet my family members on the side of the road somewhere or in a public place, just tell them, hey, everything's all right. You just come down to the church house. We got to get them further than the church. We got to get them to Jesus. Got to get them to the cross. Amen. Don't let Absalom steal your heart by telling you, whispering you saw things in your ear. Because this is what he'll do. He'll say, hey. Now, I don't know how Brother Alton preaches, I know how Brother Melvin preaches, but listen, I know our folks tonight, that old Absalom will come in there and he'll say this. He'll say, you don't have to listen to them people tell you how you ought to live and how you ought to do this and how you ought to do that and how you ought to straighten out your life. They'll tell you, hey, you don't have to do that no more. We're in 2016. We're no longer this that crowd anymore. Amen. You don't have to do that. And what he's doing, he's taking away your heart tonight. There's some folks that used to sit on our church pews tonight that Absalom stole their heart. He's a perfect picture of Satan. Amen. He's a handsome guy. The Bible talks about Satan. He's not this red-suited, pitchfork-pointed, horned guy that we think he is. He lures around in ways that attract us. Gracious. The way he talks to them. But then he begins to gradually take their affection. See, sin tonight just don't run in and take everything all at one time. A thief don't jump in there, and if he's maybe coming in your house, he'll get what he can and he'll go. But you ever seen those people like old Bernie Madoff? Stole millions out from the noses of people. But he didn't take out 10 million at a time. No, he took out 1,000 here, maybe 2,000 there, maybe 500 there, maybe 10,000 over there. From some people, like $10,000 in my world is a whole lot of money. But to some, it's like a $5 bill. But he would just take it gradually. But you know what got him? That greed took him. Tonight, Absalom has a way of coming in and gradually taking your affection, telling you what you want to hear, and little by little, he takes you away from God. And you don't even realize that he's doing it. And he'll do it in ways at times, Brother Melvin, that seem right. They seem okay. But what happens is it pulls you away. That heat, that desire, that fervency for God begins to get lukewarm. I know we're not going to shout her out tonight. Maybe Brother Runnels will come in tomorrow. Maybe Zach, maybe y'all got enough last night with Brother Zach. But I'm trying to help us to understand that we better have more than just an excitement. Because that excitement can be lured away by a bigger party. It can be taken away by a bigger deal. We need tonight, we need some stability in our day. We need some people that will be committed to the pews. Amen. If you expect your preacher to be here, bless God, you ought to be here. Oh, so I can keep going. Amen. I just needed amen. I just needed to know. But the truth is, it gradually, listen, here's a lot of times, and I know people have to work on Sundays and things. I know that it comes, and we try to say, well, we're going to take a second job because we need extra money, and we need to do this, and we need to do that. But that's the way a lot of times that Absalom comes in, and he begins to lure you away. If we'll say it's just one Sunday, maybe two, and then it becomes into a month, and it becomes 2 months, and you know what he's done? He's led you away by making you believe that God is not big enough to supply your needs, like he said he would. Listen to me, some of you senior saints tonight. That old rascal will come in there and tell you, you have no place anymore in the house of God. He'll come in and say, step back and let the young people take over. Let them have their way and let them do this. And you've paid your dues and you've done that. That's not in the Bible for you to kick back and hit cruise control. Matter of fact, you senior saints ought to be the one that's setting the example. The closer you get to heaven, you ought to be shouting her out and letting some of these young people know it gets better and sweeter as the days go by. Amen. You don't have to grow old, bitter and old. You just have to get old. And my grandpa tonight, he says he's 38, been 38 for about 54 years now. But he gradually takes our affection. I wonder tonight, is your heart where it's always been with the Lord? Is that fervency there? Are you like that heart that's panting after water? Do you desire to be at God's house like you used to be? I couldn't pastor one of these churches that run about 1,200, 1,300 on Sunday morning and then have about 200 on Sunday night. It drives me crazy now knowing where about 20 go. I couldn't imagine having to wonder where some 800 go. Amen. But you know what? He does things through little league ball. Gradually takes us away. Oh, we got to have our vacations. Hey, I'm for vacation. Bless God, I'll go on them. But you ain't got to miss 12 services in a one-week vacation. Brother Allen, you may not ever let me come back tonight because I'm doing it all while I'm here. It's the fact we'll go, and then we come back and say, well, we got to take a Sunday to recover. We got to take a Sunday to rest. Hey, you need to get back where God wants you to be, or Absalom's going to take advantage of you trying to rest. He's going to say, well, that Sunday wasn't that bad. You ain't got to go. See, you made it. Wasn't that bad? You know, the next thing you know, you're going to be like Peter. I'm saying, I'm leaving. I'm going out yonder. Amen, preacher. You're right. This gradual affection, it lures us away. Lures us away. You know, you ever go fishing? Anybody ever fishing here? You know what I do? I don't fish much, and I don't go hardly at all. If they ever get me down there, I like to go. But if I'm ever fishing and I ever get a nibble or a bite or a strike in a particular area, when I get it in, if I don't hook that rascal, I reel it in and I cast right back out the same spot. So if I didn't get him the first time, I hope he's still hanging around there the next time. And If that don't work, I'll change the bait. And I'll go back to the same hole. And every so often, amen, what didn't work one time, something else worked the next time. Listen, I want you to know that Absalom knows exactly what bait to dangle in front of your face. He knows exactly how to make you dance. He knows what to put in your face to make you say, hey, I'd rather have that than I'd rather than my devotion to my king. But you better take a look at who saved you. You better take a long look who's provided your meals, who's put food on your table, clothes on your back, shoes on your feet, a roof over your head, who's took care of your family, who saved your young. It wasn't the Absaloms of this world. We're done here, finished. Our people are probably going to shout amen and say, man, you didn't preach 20 minutes over there. There's simply a grave apprehension here. Was that old Absalom's a lie? The Bible said he finally stole her heart, Brother Dave. You know why he did that? Because they wouldn't quit listening to him. You know why they eventually gave way? Because they didn't cut him off. They kept listening to him. They kept letting him influence him, and they kept saying, hey, instead of sitting there saying, hey, it was best for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. And hey, I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to listen to the scriptures, and I'm going to listen to the man of God, and I'm going to be faithful. Hey, what they done is said, hey, you know, Absalom's got a point there. Hey, when he says, hey, why does David let y'all suffer? Why won't David do something? Why is not David listening to your causes? I mean, he'll come to you and say, hey, How come the preacher didn't come visit you when you were in the hospital? But he went and seen so-and-so. How come he didn't call you when you were sick? Maybe they liked him a little bit more than you. And you know what happens? If you don't cut that mess off, amen, he'll steal your heart and you'll be out there saying, I'm going to find me another church, and you won't find anything but the lazy boy in your front, in your living room. Amen. Listen to me, if you're going to belong to a Baptist church, any church, get prepared to get your feelings hurt. Get prepared, amen, to get angry. Get prepared to get mad. Get prepared to see disagreements. Get prepared to see people have personality differences. Everything is not always wonderful, amen, at the church house. Amen, I was sadly fooled when I got saved. The biggest delusion that ever came about. Thought everybody just loved everybody. Lord God, that wasn't the case. I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather have any day in the house of God with saved people. They can work things out. I'd rather stick it out right here at the house of God and go back to where I came from. Amen. I don't want Absalom to steal my heart. Amen. I don't want Absalom to come into my soul and say, hey, you could do so much better somewhere. Listen to me, young people. He's going to tell you if he ain't already told you. You're a young man. You need to be going somewhere else where there's a bunch of little girls. You ain't got to sit up on this front row living a sanctified life, living like you love the preacher. You ain't got to do all that. There's so much more out there. Listen to him. Next thing you know, you'll come in here tattooed and, amen, everything else wrong with you. Amen. I got scars from the past life. I got scars. But tonight, hey, I'm telling you something. You do not have to listen to the influences of a satanic Absalom who's trying to lure you away from God tonight. You realize we almost have as many, and I've got to stop, Lord. I'm fixing to get in the world. Do you realize how many old-timers we got shacked up tonight? Bless God, we ain't never heard preach about old people living together. We used to have to preach about them young people living together. Now it's old-timers. All for the name. Well, it cuts our money out if we get married. You know, we got to have this money, that money. You're letting money dictate who your God is. If God's took care of you for all these years, you think he's going to stop tonight? No, we too far down the road, amen, for us to give our heart to Absalom. A
I don't come back. I know why, Brother Absalom. Brother Alton. God help me. I apologize for that one, Brother Alton. Praise God. In all seriousness tonight, ask yourself, Sunday school teachers, who has your heart? Have you quit giving your heart to your class? Preacher, there ain't about two in there. I had a gray-haired lady by the name, still living, praise God, still faithful to the church, named Carolyn Pope. I sit in a Sunday school class many times as a teenager, either me by myself or maybe one other person. But you know what? That gray-haired granny opened that Bible every Sunday. Opened it up in her lap. We didn't eat crackers and donuts and amen, eat Barney and watch Barney and nuts. God. She sat there and told me the Word of God. She said, you want to pray? I said, nope. You want to read? I said, nope. But you know what? She kept holding that spot every single Sunday. You know why? Because her heart was there. No, she couldn't dazzle us with all the new things on the screens and bring in things she printed off the internet. But she brought us a Word of God that she had prayed over, that she had read, and she wanted to give it to the class, whether there was one. I joined the army one day. So hey, most of y'all don't know that I swore in. Bless God, I went to Atlanta, went through MEPS, swore and said, hey, I swear I'm going to take care of this country. I'm going to bow. Hey, I'm going to serve it. And went through MEPS and went through all that stuff. Said, I'm going to go. Came back, told her, I said, I'm going to go into the army. She said, no, you ain't. I said, well, one of them I am. She said, you're not going. I said, Miss Carolyn, I done swore in. I am now property of the United States. She said, you ain't going. She said, God's got something else he's going to do with you. I said, no, you don't understand, Miss Carolyn. I said, I'm going to the army. Sure enough, come to parts today, I didn't go. I'm out. There's some things about my paperwork. They lied to me. I was going to take a particular job, and they didn't give it to me. Anyway, it worked out. Man, it wasn't a month later, God called me to preach.
Don't tell me, honey, if you'll sell your heart out to God, amen, you'll get some gray-haired grannies and some grandpas and mamas and daddies praying for you. Hey, Absalom won't stand a chance, amen. Thank God I'm glad there's some people that'll pray. There's some folks that'll love you enough. Amen, they may get on your nerves. You may get bored. You may get tired of hearing it. But thank God, looking back, I'm so glad there's some people that stood faithful to God in my day. How are we going to close the service? I don't know, but I want you to challenge your heart tonight. If you don't have your heart where it needs to be with the Lord, you need to come. You need to come and say, hey, I know within me, I'm here every Sunday. I sing in the choir every service. But that doesn't mean you got God has your heart. There's a difference. I've been there. I've preached that way. I preached that way, brother, and I preached because it was what I was supposed to do. But my heart wasn't in what I said. It wasn't in what I'd done because there was things that had pulled me away. The preacher, I wouldn't admit that. I'm just telling you, I live in a real world. I'm a real man. I'm a real person. And I know who I pastor. I pastor real people tonight who battle real issues. And it's easy to tell when Absalom's luring your heart. Taking you away. While we stand together, I don't know if you want to just. You're looking at a preacher tonight who loves you, Westside. And I know your pastors love you. I know your church committees or deacons or whatever. I don't know what all you got here, but I know they love you. But I challenge you tonight to step out and say, hey, I want to serve God. Don't let him fool you and tell you there's another place somewhere that you... Hey, serve him here. Serve him. There's nothing wrong in assisting somebody. Hey, Moses was a great leader, but he had Aaron and Ur to hold up his arms. No, they didn't get a lot of glory. All we do is preach about Moses. Oh, but Moses wouldn't have able to hold his arms up without Aaron and Ur. Somebody ought to come along and say, hey, I want to hold your arms up tonight. I don't care if my name's on the marquee. I don't care if I sing lead in the choir. I don't care if I get to sing my solo. I'll rub my heart be right with God. If you get bitter about that, you don't need to sing solo in the choir. Say amen right there. Don't let Absalom steal your heart tonight.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus but lost? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble.
Tell you folks, Brother Brian has shared his heart with us tonight. I don't believe the Lord had our brother preach that message so it would fall on deaf ears or hard hearts. You could be standing in the pew tonight and say, I don't believe I'm listening to Absalom. I know that I'm doing everything I can do to do what God wants me to do. But the truth of the matter is that there is the spirit of Antichrist that is constantly trying to draw you away. And it comes in all forms, shapes, and sizes. Tonight, I want to invite you to come to the altar and pray this prayer. Lord, help me not to be drawn. At this time, I might not be being drawn, but help me to recognize the Absaloms in my life. I'm doing everything I can, but I know they're out there. Lord, if you'll help me to recognize them, I'll avoid them. Would you come? Would you come with that prayer request tonight to the Lord? Help me to avoid the Absaloms of my life. Would you do that tonight? Just come on if you would. They're out there, folks. They're out there. They're operated by the devil himself like a puppet on the strings. He wants to draw you into the wrong direction. Man, if he can just get us to misstep one time and cause us to trip, that's a terrible thing. But can I say this, church or churches? When we trip, when we fall, we hurt other people. Can I ask you to come and bow your knees? Pray to the Lord. Say, God, I don't want to hurt others. I know that if I'm drawn by the spirit of Antichrist, that I can hurt others, and that's not where I want to be. Would you come and turn it all over to God? Let him work efficiently in your life. Would you do that right now as we sing, please?
Heart right with God. Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble.
We're marching to the glorious city of God.